Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Have you ever been in a storm? What did you hear, feel, or see? When I was a young girl, I was very frightened of storms. They felt so very powerful. I grew up in the state of Wisconsin, and we had many storms throughout the summer months. I remember some of them had thunder so loud that it would shake our house. I would always pray when a storm came because I wanted God to protect my family, and I also wanted to feel his peace and not be afraid. You know, God helped me in those times to sense his presence and to be less afraid. He also helped me become less afraid of storms as I learned more about them. When I was around 12 years old, my dad brought me with him to a class about identifying storms. By the end of that class, I was a certified storm spotter. That means I was trained by the National Weather Service to see and report severe weather conditions. So if I called in and said that I saw a certain cloud formation or something potentially dangerous, they knew I had training to understand what I was seeing. In this class, I learned a lot about how storms worked, and it helped me be less afraid of them. Although I was still scared from time to time, I knew how storms worked, and I could see God's power and protection in them. We are not exactly becoming certified storm spotters today, but we will learn how to spot God's protection and power in his designs of weather. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We will discover what is the atmosphere and what makes a thunderstorm. How does lightning work? And does God control storms? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsors who made this lesson possible, including Generations Ministries. At Nat Theo, we keep Jesus right at the center of science lessons. That's why we love curriculum and resources by Generations Ministries, which keeps Christ at the center of every subject, from science to history, geography, math, reading and literature, missionary stories, and more. You can save 15% on your entire order using the code NATTHEO, that's lowercase one word, NATTHEO, at generations.org. Our family highly recommends the God-Made Science Bundle to explore creatures, plants, and all of creation for grades 1 to 6. If you want a curriculum that is truly God-centered, Bible-based, and Christ-exalting, visit generations.org and use the code NATTHEO, one word NATTHEO, for 15% off your order. And if you're looking for Christ-centered science for middle school and up, check out the Science Dilemma at the link in our show notes. Use the code NAT25, N-A-T-25, for 25% off their amazing Origin of Life video series. Science is not something to fear, and it doesn't go against the Bible. Instead, it is a tool to discover God's amazing designs and the evidence we have for our faith. The Science Jane's Dilemma helps students see how scientific evidence supports a biblical worldview and how faith and science go hand in hand. My kids kept asking for another episode, and we were talking about what they had learned weeks after watching. Click the link in our show notes and use the code NAT25, NAT25, for 25% off the Science Dilemma Origin of Life series. It's time for our trivia question. Which place gets the most rainfall in the world each year? A, the Amazon rainforest in South America. B, Mausinram, India. C, Hawaii. Or D, the Congo rainforest in Africa. Again, which place gets the most rainfall in the world each year? A, the Amazon rainforest in South America. B, Mausinram, India. C, Hawaii. Or D, the Congo rainforest in Africa. Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And NatTheo Club members, make sure to click over to the bonus video after this lesson, and you will discover how to do fun weather tracking activities so you can become a weather watcher. You can find that bonus video at the link in our show notes or in your NatTheo Club dashboard. Listeners, if you want to learn more about God's wild and wonderful world, join the NatTheo Club at the link in our show notes. You will gain instant access to all of our past materials, along with a new weekly activity guide, bonus video, nature devotion, and all of our nature and Bible scavenger hunts. You can find that link in our show notes. Before we learn what exactly storms are and how they work, we should understand a little bit about where they happen, and that is in the Earth's atmosphere. But what is the atmosphere? We might think of the atmosphere as simply the air above the ground, but it's more detailed than that. The Earth's atmosphere is like a protective layer of gases that is held in place by gravity. We can't go too deep into gravity right now. We'll have to save that for another episode. But put simply, gravity is an invisible force that pulls objects toward each other. Earth's gravity pulls everything toward the center of the Earth. That's why our feet stay on the ground and we don't float away into space. But did you know that this invisible force, gravity, also holds our atmosphere and the air around us close to the ground? Air might not seem heavy or like it should be pulled by gravity, but it is. The air in the atmosphere is made from different types of gases, mainly nitrogen and oxygen. Gravity pulls on those gases like a magnet so that they stay close to the Earth's surface. This gas-filled atmosphere, including the air that we breathe, is what makes life on Earth possible. The atmosphere is divided up into different zones. And the zone where we live is the lowest zone, called the troposphere. The troposphere is the lowest layer of Earth's atmosphere, where we live, breathe, and where almost all weather happens. It stretches from the ground up to about 6 to 12 miles, or 10 to 20 kilometers high, depending on where you are on Earth. The troposphere is what we're looking at today because this is where all storms happen, as we will see in a few minutes. God carefully designed this system back at creation. Before he filled the earth with creatures and plants and humans, he set the stage for life by carefully dialing in the perfect mixture of gases in the troposphere. Listen to Genesis 1, verses 6 to 8. Then God said, "Let there be something to divide the water in two." So God made the air and placed some of the water above the air and some below it. God named the air sky. Evening passed and morning came. This was the second day. When God created the air, he designed it with the perfect mixture of gases so that creatures, plants, and humans can live on Earth. That mixture of gases includes water vapor, just as we read. So God made the air and placed some of the water above the air and some below it. Water vapor is water that has turned into gas that you can't see, like when puddles slowly disappear on a warm day. Water vapor in the air can create clouds. Here is how it works. Clouds are made when invisible water vapor rises into the sky, cools down, and turns back into tiny drops of water or ice. When lots of these drops gather together, we see them as clouds. Sometimes clouds build up and become bigger and bigger. The tiny water droplets in the air, they stick to each other and become heavier. When they become so heavy that the air can no longer hold them up, gravity pulls them down to earth in the form of rain. This is called the water cycle, and it is an amazing system God designed so that the earth is always refreshed with rainwater. The water cycle is the way water moves around our planet. Water warms up and turns into water vapor, forms clouds in the sky, falls back down as rain or snow, and then collects in rivers, lakes, and oceans. And then this cycle starts all over again. If you have ever seen fog or a cloud rising up into the air over a river or a lake, you have seen this system at work. Water droplets rise into the air, gather up together into clouds, become heavy as the water droplets stick to each other, and rain back down so Earth has enough water to support plants, creatures, and us. But sometimes other things, like wind and temperatures, will affect what is happening in the atmosphere and in the clouds. A little cloud can grow into a storm when warm, wet air keeps rising and cooling. The cloud gets taller and stronger until it's like a giant tower in the sky. Inside that cloud, the air is zooming up and down, building power, which makes a storm. When you think of a storm, you might think of lightning. If a big storm cloud has ice crystals in it, the wind inside the cloud can shake those crystals up and cause them to bump into each other. All that bumping together creates something called an electrical charge. You can think of an electrical charge a little bit like batteries. Some parts stick together and some parts push apart. An electrical charge works in a similar way, but with tiny particles that make electricity flow. So an electrical charge is the invisible energy that builds up in storm clouds and makes lightning. Let's look a little bit closer at how an electrical charge can create lightning. Inside a storm cloud, tiny ice and water particles bump into each other and create static electricity. Kind of like if you rub a balloon on your head and the static electricity causes your hair to stand up. The top of the cloud becomes positively charged, while the bottom of the cloud becomes negatively charged. When the negative charge at the bottom of the cloud gets very strong, it looks for something with a positive charge to connect to, like the ground or a tree. The sudden jump of electricity from the cloud to the ground is lightning. But why does lightning flash so brightly? This brings up a great question from one of our listeners.
Hello, my name is Zion, and I'm 5, and I live in Redwater, Alberta. My question to ask is, what makes lightning flash?
That is a great question, Zion. What makes lightning flash? The electrical charge shoots through the air so quickly that it heats the air up around it, which is why we see lightning as a bright white or yellow flash. We are seeing the energy created by lightning. This is also why we hear a big boom of thunder. Remember that when the electricity shoots through the sky, it heats up the air around it. That heating air creates an explosion, which we hear as a boom of thunder. So lightning is how a cloud releases a bunch of stored up energy. We see it as a bright flash, and we hear it as a boom of thunder because it heats up the air around it. Storms are powerful, and sometimes they can be scary or even dangerous. So are they a part of God's design? Not exactly. In God's original design, the water cycle was created just right to provide water perfectly for the earth. When sin happened, much of that original design was set off balance. And then when the great flood happened and waters covered the earth, nature was set far more off balance, including the atmosphere. And the storms that we see today are likely an after effect of the great flood that changed our planet in drastic ways. As we learned on lesson 88 about lava and volcanoes, the great flood likely had a whole lot of volcanic activity. The ground split open and there were many volcanic eruptions and a whole lot of heat. The great flood was filled with extreme weather and it changed the earth in many big ways. Answers in Genesis puts it this way. Listen closely. During Noah's flood, the earth experienced unparalleled catastrophes that released an incredible amount of heat. Continents separated. Massive volcanoes erupted. Mountains rose and fell. Continents eroded away, and hot magma bubbled up from the mantle to the Earth's surface. This heat was likely thoroughly mixed and stored in the oceans for hundreds of years after the flood. Volcanic dust continued to spew into the atmosphere for many years, reducing the sun's heating. Mountains rose, changing the topography and causing massive landslides in their wake. Earthquakes of extreme magnitude frequently shook the Earth's crust, slowly declining in frequency and intensity. Think about this. While it only rained for 40 days and 40 nights, Noah and his family remained on the ark for over a year because water still covered the surface of the earth. Think about how that messed up God's natural design of the water cycle. Our planet is not fully recovered from the great flood, and we can see that in extreme weather conditions. But the good news is this. The same God who smartly designed the water cycle is in control of all weather. Job 36:32 says, "He fills his hands with lightning and commands it to strike its mark." Does this mean that God tells every electrical charge, every bolt of lightning, where to strike? No. But it shows us that he has power over electricity and lightning and storms because he designed the water cycle and the atmosphere and natural laws. There are several stories in the Bible of real events where God controlled the weather, but that does not mean that he controls all weather all the time. Natural disasters and terrible storms happen because the earth is cursed by sin, but God still has power over lightning and storms. We can see this in an amazing way when we read about Jesus calming a storm in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Listen carefully. "That evening, Jesus said to his followers, 'Let's go across the lake.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him in the boat just as he was. There were also other boats with them. A very strong wind came up on the lake. The waves came over the sides and into the boat so that it was already full of water. Jesus was at the back of the boat, sleeping with his head on a cushion. His followers woke him and said, 'Teacher, don't you care that we are drowning?' Jesus stood up and commanded the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind stopped and it became completely calm. Jesus said to his followers, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' The followers were very afraid and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.' Did you catch the words that Jesus said to the waves? 'Quiet, be still.' Other translations read, 'Peace, be still.'" When I asked my Greek professor about these words, he told me that in the original Greek that it's written in, it basically means, "Be quiet already." It's very forceful. Jesus spoke directly to the storm and made it stop by the power of his words, the same power that spoke creation into place. And did you catch what his disciples said at the end Even the wind and the waves obey him. Nature bows before God. He doesn't always control every detail of it, but he has the power to tell it what to do and what not to do. One more thing about this passage. Did you notice whose idea it was to get in the boat and go across the lake? It was Jesus's idea. He said, "Let's go across the lake." Jesus is God and knows everything. And surely he knew that a storm was coming. But he also knew that he had the power to protect his disciples. And maybe, just maybe, he wanted them through this experience to see his power and his devotion to them. In a similar way, sometimes God allows us to go through storms. Maybe it's a real storm with frightening lightning and thunder, or maybe it's a different kind of storm, like a hard situation. Maybe it's a big move or changing schools, an argument with a friend, or losing a pet or a loved one. Remember, listener, God does not cause every storm. Sometimes hard things happen because we live in a world that is broken by sin. But God has the power over every storm, and his promises can bring us peace in every situation. Listen to Isaiah 25, verses 1 and 4. "Lord, you are my God. I honor you and praise you because you have done amazing things. You have always done what you said you would do. You have done what you planned long ago. You are like a shelter from storms." The next time you're afraid, when you see lightning or hear thunder, or if you're facing a storm in life with a hard situation, remember, God is our shelter in storms. We can run to him and find peace and protection. Here's something you can do if you feel scared during a storm. Pray and ask God to say, "Peace, be still." Quiet, be still in your heart. So no matter the circumstance around you, you can be calmed by his peace and presence. Remember, listener, Jesus spoke directly to the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." And the same Jesus can calm any storm in or around us. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here is today's question.
I'm Caleb, and I'm 8 years old. I live in Georgia, and I want to know which reptile has the biggest fangs.
That is a great question, Caleb. Which reptile has the biggest fangs? The Gaboon viper is a snake with the longest fangs of all reptiles. It lives in sub-Sahara Africa, which means the countries south of the Sahara Desert. These snakes can be found in rainforests as well as grassy savannas. The Gaboon viper's fangs fold up inside of its mouth and can grow up to 2 inches or just over 5 centimeters long. That is about as long as a AA battery. It is an ambush predator, which means that it stays camouflaged and waits quietly for its prey to come close. Then it strikes super fast. It usually eats rodents and other small mammals. Unlike most vipers, the Gaboon viper doesn't let go after biting its prey. It holds on while releasing venom. The Gaboon viper hunts at night because it is nocturnal. It is not a very aggressive snake, but it will defend if it feels threatened. Thanks for your great question, Caleb. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And Nat Theo Club members, remember after this lesson to click over to the bonus video where you will discover some fun storm and weather tracking activities so you can track and learn more about God's designs in the weather. You can find that bonus video at the link in our show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. It's time to answer our trivia question. Which place gets the most rainfall in the world each year? A, the Amazon rainforest in South America. B, Mausoleum, India, C, Hawaii, or D, the Congo rainforest in Africa? The correct answer is B, Mausoleum, India. This area can receive around 40 feet or 12 meters of rain every year. Can you imagine that much rain? Now it's your turn to explore. Watch clouds building up and changing shapes. Lay down in a safe area outside on a day when there are clouds in the sky. Watch as water droplets gather together and clouds get bigger. Or on a foggy morning, you can watch as the fog rises higher into the sky and forms clouds. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode on weather and thunderstorms, please take a moment to send it to a friend. And subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all alone.